This is the Cursus Publicus for Thursday, July 2nd, 2026. Intelligence from the Global Frontier. I'm Valeria.
And I'm Marcus. Glad you're with us. It's a full board today. A natural disaster in Venezuela hardening into a slow-building migration risk. Washington letting its flagship North American trade pact lapse into open-ended renegotiation. And a Peruvian courtroom handing Beijing a rare setback over one of its most prized ports in the Western Hemisphere.
Here is the bottom line up front. Venezuela's twin earthquakes have now killed more than 1,900 people, and the sustained American military and aid presence there, alongside continued deportation flights, raises the odds of a fresh migration wave forming over the coming months. In Washington, the decision not to renew the USMCA trade pact, the agreement binding the United States, Mexico, and Canada, opens a long review period. Talks resume the week of July 20th, and while everyday border enforcement continues unchanged for now, the uncertainty could slowly inject friction into cross-border trade and customs coordination. Down in Peru, a court restored government oversight of the Chinese-run Chanché megaport, a rare check on Beijing's port ambitions across Latin America that Washington had actively lobbied for.
And add to that, Valeria, in Sudan, the Rapid Support Forces, the powerful paramilitary group known as the RSF, face fresh war crimes and ethnic cleansing allegations as one of the world's largest displacement crises deepens. There's a lot to get through, so let's get into it.
We begin in North America. Washington has declined to renew the USMCA in its current form. The Trump administration confirmed on July 1st that it will not renew the 16-year-old pact as its review deadline passed, choosing instead to pursue separate, track-by-track negotiations. Mexico's economy minister, Marcelo Ebrard, said Mexico will push for what he called an annual review approach and does not expect any immediate change in how the pact functions day-to-day. U.S.-Mexico talks are set for the week of July 20th. Marcus, why does this land on our desk?
Because a drawn-out renegotiation raises the prospect of new tariff and customs friction at both land borders over time, and prolonged uncertainty could complicate joint cargo targeting and trusted trader arrangements with Mexico and Canada. The thing to hold on to, though, is that current operations are unaffected in the near term. This is a slow-moving risk, not a switch that flips tomorrow.
Also in North America, a troubling warning near the Texas border. Border Patrol agents near Presidio, Texas, were alerted that a faction of the Sinaloa cartel is using drones to ferry explosives across the border for use against rival cartels inside Mexico. That would mark an escalation from the reconnaissance-only drone flights previously documented in the area. The warning followed the arrest of two Mexican nationals carrying rifles who described themselves as cartel scouts. Marcus, how much weight do we put on this one?
I'd put real attention on it, but hold it carefully. This is a single-source report, and it's still developing, so the details could shift. That caveat aside, the significance is straightforward. Explosive-capable drone traffic near the line raises the risk to anyone operating close to the border, and it could push detection resources toward aerial smuggling methods, alongside the traditional ground and tunnel routes.
Now to South America and the Caribbean, where the human toll of Venezuela's earthquakes keeps climbing. The death count from the June 24th twin quakes has passed 1,900, with thousands more injured and reported missing, and search and rescue operations still underway. The United States has deployed more than 900 military personnel inside Venezuela, along with search and rescue teams and roughly $150 million in aid, even as deportation flights to Venezuela have continued in parallel. Marcus, where does this reach us?
It reaches us downstream. And I'll flag up front that this picture is still developing, so the numbers may move. A protracted disaster response in a country whose government Washington does not fully recognize raises the odds of a renewed migration wave toward the region and eventually the U.S. southern border over the coming months. And those parallel deportation flights arriving in the middle of a crisis could complicate the verification of travel documents and the coordination of screening.
Staying in the region, a rare legal setback for Beijing. A court in Lima has overturned a January ruling and ordered Peru's transport regulator, an agency called Ositran, spelled Ositran, to resume oversight of the Chankei Megaport, the sprawling Pacific gateway near Lima, operated by the Chinese state shipping giant COSCO. It hands Washington a rare win in its push against Chinese port control across Latin America. Beijing, for its part, has separately warned Panama of economic and political costs over a similar port dispute there.
And this one matters on two fronts, Valeria. Restored regulatory oversight at a major new Pacific gateway affects how reliably U.S.-bound cargo moving through the port can be screened and profiled before it reaches American shores. And the ruling likely sharpens friction between Beijing and Lima, friction that overseas liaison channels will need to track from here.
Also in the Caribbean, Haiti's state authority continues to erode. Gangs carried out fresh mass killings across the country this week, according to on-the-ground reporting from The Guardian, continuing a pattern the United Nations has already tied to more than 16,000 deaths since 2022, as gang control now extends well beyond the capital, Port-au-Prince. Marcus, bring us the significance.
I'll bring it, with one caveat first. This specific reporting cycle is single source and still developing, so treat the newest details as provisional. The through line is grim. Continued state collapse sustains the pipeline of onward migration through the Caribbean and Central America toward U.S. approaches, and it keeps the wind down of Haitian temporary protected status, the program that shields certain Haitians from deportation, politically fraught in ways that could affect the volumes moving through regional air and sea corridors.
Meanwhile, in Europe, the continent's new biometric border regime is off to a rocky start. The EU's new entry-exit system, automated fingerprint and facial checks at the bloc's external frontiers, has produced waits of 5 hours or more at some crossings, prompting airlines and airport operators to demand the rules be eased ahead of peak summer travel. Separately, and more encouragingly, EU data cited this week shows irregular border crossings down roughly 40% year-on-year.
Two competing signals there. And both matter to us. Sustained congestion at European frontier posts could reroute both passengers and cargo through the major hubs, where traveler screening presence is already concentrated. But a durable drop in irregular crossings would mark a rare easing of the migration pressure that has driven so much European monitoring in the first place.
Now to Africa and the Middle East. In Sudan, Amnesty International has accused three commanders of the Rapid Support Forces, the RSF paramilitary group, of war crimes, including allegations of ethnic cleansing in the city of El Fasher, while United Nations officials separately warn of a continuing risk of mass atrocity violence across the country. Sudan's war remains one of the world's largest displacement crises.
And the significance is a slow burn, Valeria. Continued RSF atrocities raise the likelihood of further secondary displacement toward Europe and beyond, a trend that partner nation liaison and screening posts further along the migrant routes continue to track closely.
Staying in the region, the Strait of Hormuz remains a choke point under strain. Despite a June 17th memorandum between the United States and Iran meant to end their war and reopen the strait, the narrow passage at the mouth of the Persian Gulf, through which much of the world's oil flows, Iran briefly reclosed the waterway on June 20th, citing alleged Israeli violations in Lebanon. Analysts writing this week describe an increasingly interconnected maritime security risk, spreading from Hormuz to the Bab el-Mandeb Strait and the Suez Canal, with shipping volumes still well below pre-crisis levels, and African economies absorbing much of the cost of rerouted trade. Marcus, how worried should we be?
Worried enough to watch it closely. Simultaneous disruption at multiple global choke points would strain container targeting resources at the big transshipment ports that traffic reroutes around. And here's the subtler part. Any durable shift of cargo away from traditional lanes could change where the highest risk containers actually originate. That's the kind of quiet change that outruns the systems built for the old map.
Also in the region, a significant seizure to note, Liberian National Police intercepted roughly $19 million worth of cocaine at Roberts International Airport in Monrovia, the country's main international gateway.
And that one comes to us single source for now, so hold it lightly until it firms up. but a seizure of that scale at a West African gateway is exactly the kind of node worth watching.
We turn to Asia and the Pacific, where great power navies are crowding the seas around Japan. Japan's defense establishment has tracked an expanding pattern of Russian and Chinese naval activity in surrounding waters this week, including a large, multi-fleet Russian exercise spanning the Northern Hemisphere and Chinese warships transiting northward, as the two navies deepen joint patrols challenging what's known as the First Island Chain, the line of Allied territory running from Japan south toward the Philippines.
The significance is about friction on the water, Valeria. A sustained rise in great power naval presence near a key Allied trade corridor adds friction risk to some of the busiest container lanes that overseas port security officers rely on for preloading targeting data. And any incident at sea could disrupt scheduling at the ports that feed those lanes.
Staying in the region, Thailand is tightening its airports. Prime Minister Anuen has ordered an urgent crackdown on drug trafficking through Thai airports after a string of cases tied smugglers to Australia-bound routes, including heroin concealed in impregnated cotton seat covers, staged for export from Phrae province in the country's north. Marcus, what's the read?
The read is that enforcement pressure moves the water, it doesn't drain it. Renewed pressure at a major Southeast Asian transit hub tends to shift concealment methods and departure points. And that's a signal worth weighing for the overseas advisory programs that screen the long-haul routes historically feeding onward smuggling toward North America.
And two more significant seizures close out the Pacific. In Sydney, the Australian Border Force found roughly $24 million worth of cocaine hidden inside a frozen berry shipment imported from Chile, seized at Port Botany. And in Bangladesh, customs officers recovered 160 gold bars at Hazrat Shah Jalal International Airport in Dhaka, the country's main international airport.
Both of those are single-source reports at this stage, so I'd tag them as early. But taken together, they're a reminder of how varied the concealment playbook has gotten. Frozen berries in one lane, gold bars in another. So before we go, Valeria, let me put down some markers. Here's what we're watching in the days ahead. In Colombia, President-elect Abelardo de la Espriella is inaugurated August 7th, having pledged a 90-day military crackdown on armed groups. The likelier outcome is that he begins that crackdown within his first 2 weeks in office. So watch for executive orders or military deployment announcements by around August 21st. In Peru, the incoming Fujimori government, which takes office July 28th, is leaning towards signaling continuity or even a warming of security cooperation with the United States by mid-August. On trade, the July 20th U.S.-Mexico round of USMCA talks will most likely wrap up without a finalized rules of origin agreement, with negotiations rolling into a further round. And on the Strait of Hormuz, the expectation is that the U.S.-Iran ceasefire holds and commercial shipping volumes keep recovering through the end of July, with no renewed closure, though tanker incidents or a fresh drop in traffic would be the warning signs to watch.
Marcus, thank you. And that's the brief. For the full edition, every source behind these stories, and the complete searchable archive, go to archive.cursuspublic.us.
The Cursus Publicus is personal, unofficial, and open source.
Statum aubique, swiftly, and everywhere. We'll see you tomorrow.